As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Andy Staples Show. Happy Wednesday. Big interview for you today. We are talking to Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral. He and the Rebels headed to Tuscaloosa to face number one Alabama on Saturday. This was one of the most fun games of last year. Shapes up to be potentially one of the most fun games of this year because Alabama, maybe not as superpowered as it was last year. Remember, when Ole Miss played Alabama, five first rounders on the offense. Alex Leatherwood, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, and Mac Jones, all of them playing for that offense. 63 points they rolled up against an Ole Miss defense that was not as good as the Ole Miss defense this year. Matt Corral had another first rounder in Elijah Moore. Matt Corral is probably going to be a first rounder, but probably not the same kind of matchup. Ole Miss, better team this year than they were last year. Alabama, maybe not as much of a super team as it was last year, though still extremely good. And also, by the way, they're in Tuscaloosa. But this shapes up to be a really fun matchup, and we'll get to see how much has Matt Corral grown since 2020. He played a near-perfect game in that game against Alabama. It was just, you know, everything was working. He was on. He hit most of his throws. When he wanted to take off, he could take off and gain yards. But then after that, he goes to Arkansas, throws six interceptions. Later in the season, he threw five against LSU. He had a bunch of great games in between there, but that's sort of the yin and the yang of Matt Corral in 2020. You realize he can do all this stuff, but he's also so confident in his arm that sometimes he throws it into coverage because he believes he can get it in there. And Matt and I talk about this because it's really interesting how Lane Kiffin handled this. You know, Lane is one of those who believes his quarterback needs to have a similar personality to Lane as a play caller, which is move on to the next play, let it go, you know, don't worry about what just happened. And so after that Arkansas game, Lane sat him down and said, look, you know, this is fine. I want you confident. I want you believing you can make these throws. I don't want to change that about you. I like the swagger you play with. And I think that's really interesting because not a lot of coaches would handle it that way. But, you know, talking to Matt, I talked to Matt's dad for a story that I wrote. It's really interesting that Lane might be kind of the perfect coach for Matt's personality. And the fact that they wound up together is almost purely by accident because Matt was originally going to go to USC. This was he starred in high school in California. He was playing for a school called Oaks Christian, which remember the Clawson brothers went there. But he leaves Oaks Christian before his senior year. He goes to Long Beach Poly, which is another powerhouse Southern California program. Long Beach Poly, best known as the alma mater of Snoop Dogg and Cameron Diaz. Why did he leave? Why did he go to the other school? Well, there was an incident at Oaks Christian between him and Tristan Gretzky, the son of Wayne Gretzky, covered by TMZ. Like, can you imagine an altercation you had in high school that made TMZ? Well, this one did. And all this happens. He winds up not going to USC. He commits to Florida and Jim McElwain. And then a couple weeks later, Jim McElwain gets fired. Dan Mullen comes in at Florida. Mullen has his own QB target list, so Matt Corral moves down the list to Ole Miss. He winds up there playing for Matt Luke. And in 2019, he starts four games, but never really develops any traction, winds up splitting time with John Rhys Plumlee. And it looks like Plumlee's the guy by the end of the season. And you didn't see what you see now. Well, Lane Kiffin gets there, and he said the first time he saw Matt Corral throw, that, you know, he's talking to Jeff Lebby, the offensive coordinator, standing right next to him. Corral uncorks one like 70 yards, and Lane's like, okay, that's special. I can do something with that. And there was a competition between Corral and John Rhys Plumlee, but it became clear to Kiffin and Lebby pretty quickly that Corral was their guy and that he could do some things that just most quarterbacks can't. And I think that's the most interesting thing about Corral this year is if he can avoid that 6-interception game or the 5-interception game, he's the first quarterback off the board in the draft. He just is. There's nobody else with this combination of arm talent, athleticism, pocket awareness. There isn't that guy in college football this year other than Matt Corral. Now, if he keeps putting up the kind of numbers he's putting up, he's also going to be a Heisman contender. Ole Miss is probably going to win a lot of games. Can they beat Alabama? I don't know. I don't know if they're good enough to beat Alabama. But if they're good enough to compete with Alabama, they're good enough to compete with anybody else. So this is going to be a fascinating game for Matt Corral. And Lane Kiffin, by the way, already trying to prepare Ole Miss folks for life without Matt Corral, because he's trying to get across to them, hey, you don't quite realize how special this guy is. So here's Lane Kiffin last week talking about Matt Corral.
Ole Miss fans, you know, need to appreciate this while you have it. This is a generational arm talent, you know, that you're going to get spoiled with, because not too many people ever are going to make those plays that he's making. And there's a lot on Sundays that start that don't make him.
So now get ready to hear from that guy that Lane Kiffin was just talking about. Here is Matt Corral, Ole Miss quarterback, getting ready to play Alabama. The thing I wanted to ask you first, Matt, is I talked to Lane last year before camp started, and you guys had basically no spring practice. Nobody really knew what anything was. But when did you guys figure out, okay, this offense could be good, could be really good?
I mean, around mid-season of last year. I mean, Kiffin probably knew it before then, but I mean, when I realized it, it was middle of the season of last year for sure.
What was it that kind of clicked for you that you realized, oh, this is potentially great?
When I realized how much of my decisions on each play really affected the game, that's when I realized how much power I had, and that's when I realized, damn, this is really going to be up to me, majority of it. And that comes back to Kiffin and Lebby telling me, like, having a one-on-one with me, and this is just behind the scenes, me and him, whenever something goes wrong or whatever, he told me, no matter what, Matt, this team is going to go how you go. If you do bad, the team's going to do bad. If you do good, the team's going to do good. This is fully on you, and it sucks that you're in this position, but it's what you wanted. And I'm like, you know, you're right, coach. So, I mean, it is what I wanted, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
Well, and that's what I you know, I've heard all your interviews this year, and a lot of what you've talked about is responsibility and your responsibility to the team, your responsibility to your teammates. Was that kind of something you figured out either last year or was it after 2019 that you realized, okay, I have to take responsibility for all of this?
It was really last year. And, you know, last year after the bad games and really going through those experiences and just having to deal with them. And then it's like, how are you going to deal with it? You can't just lay down and quit. You got to keep going and keep getting better. And it was really just come down to situational decision-making. and understanding what Levy wants out of this play call when he's calling on this down and distance, and just being on the same page. And I think this offseason gave us a great opportunity to get better at that.
What is Lane like after a 6-interception game against Arkansas? What does he say to you?
I mean, it was more of like a comforting thing rather than, you know, talking down on me and pointing the finger. He made me feel like I was the dude, and like this transformed into something later on that made me into something that I didn't realize it was doing to me. So like it made me feel like I was the dude. Like I there's no one else, man. Like this is your spot. I'm not going to pull you out. This is your team and I fully trust you. And it was that kind of bond after the game. And then later on in this, as the offseason goes by, there's guys, you know, having confidence issues. And, you know, I was the same way in that circumstance, in that situation. And, you know, I had a meeting with the team, and it was like a lot of those players needed to feel like how I felt when Coach Kiffin came into that meeting room with me one-on-one and be like, yo, you belong in this seat. You belong in this position. You can do this. And some players just needed that extra confidence boost. And that's exactly what I did. And I think it helped.
Does that push you harder? Because it feels like it's him basically saying, look, you're in control of this. Because a lot of coaches are kind of control freaks, and they'll say, well, you need to do this and this and this and just listen to what I say. But it sounds like he kind of pushed the control onto you and said, however you want to do this is how it's going to go.
Absolutely. And I think that's what made me want to do more. It made me want to be better. It made me want – it's how that obsession came of me being in here 24/7.
And okay – it sounds like you really are. Like, when do you ever go home? How much time do you spend at home? What do you do at home these days?
I was literally home for like an hour and 30 minutes. I took a nap and I woke up and I just drove up here. And after this, I'm about to go watch the film from practice and then get on Alabama film.
So I'll probably be here. As we're recording this, this is your open week right here. You're not playing Alabama as we're recording. When it's published, it will be Alabama week, but you're already – sounds like you're already kind of treating it as if it is.
Absolutely. That's the whole thing. We got to get a jump on this week. And that's the beauty of having a bye week before a big game. You know, we get a jump mentally on these guys.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
A lot of times Alabama kind of makes teams melt getting off the bus or you know, walking out for the handshake. You guys showed no fear last year. Obviously, you know, that was a great team that ended up winning the national title, but you pushed them like nobody had. What did you guys say to each other before that game that inspired you to play fearlessly like that?
No matter what happens, we'll still always be there for each other. And I think that was a clear message going out through the week. Cause like I said before, like, nobody knew what kind of team we had. Like, we didn't even know what kind of team we had. We were just, we're going to go out there and give it our best shot and we'll see what happens. And, you know, we went toe to toe with them, and then season goes by and we have these ups and downs and like the off season happens and it's like, okay, now we realize what kind of team we are. We realize what we have. We know what we want to accomplish, and there's a standard to get to where we want to accomplish. So we got to do that.
So, You're getting a lot of buzz for a lot of different things, whether it be individual awards, draft stuff. Lane obviously calls that all rat poison. How does he keep you from the rat poison, or how do you keep yourself from the rat poison?
I don't really pay attention to it. The only reason I got back on social media was because of the, I'm about to have some paid opportunities for NIL. So that's really the sole reason why I got it back, but I'm not really on it. Nobody talks about myself here. So it's always still about getting better. Lebby always, we're always talking about what I did wrong and what could be better. And, you know, I'm fully aware of what I did wrong and I completely agree with them. So, I mean, just us being on the same page and then focusing on that, some of the other stuff doesn't even get mentioned.
But before you, because I know you kind of deleted your social media apps, and I know you said you put them back on for the NIL stuff. But before you did, you posted something right before the season started I thought was really interesting. Did you write this? This is what I really want you to understand, my man. Is that something you wrote to yourself?
Yep.
I'm going to read it for the folks so they can hear it. So this is right as the season's about to start. This is what I really want you to understand, my man. You don't know why you want to be great yet. And a person that doesn't know what he will do with greatness but knows he wants to be great is a man who will not know what to do with power if he were to achieve greatness. And those people are dangerous because they can never fill the hole in them that wants more. And they cannot even describe what more is. It is a general dissatisfaction with self and others that starts from not really knowing what you want to do with what you've been given in this life. You have to find your purpose. And then you will find the people that align with you and give your life meaning. That may only leave you with one or two friends, but it'll be more than enough. And you will never feel alone because you live for something bigger than yourself. I mean, that's not something I would have understood till I was in my 30s and had kids. Like, when did that kind of dawn on you?
That was my mentor, Dave Daglow. He's been my trainer since I was a sophomore. I'm really close with him. I started with him when he was just working with clients in his living room in his apartment and on this little pad. And I was one of the first guys who started with him. And that's a different story for a different day, because that was life changing for me. But yeah, he's really focused on my mental space, and the type of stuff that I get from him is something that I wouldn't get anywhere else. And I just firmly believe that. And that was one of the things that he left me with. And that's something that I have written down in my phone that I look at every single day, because it speaks to me, because he tells me a lot of things, man, like a lot of random things. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, Dave, like, cool. that one thing, it stuck to me, and I read it and I kept reading it just to really comprehend what it was saying. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's, because it's a lot of unhappiness going in through working towards what you want in life, and like all those ups and downs, and man, you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
And
the other part of it is that I think is really interesting and very, very wise. And especially at your age, you've kind of embraced it, is a lot of times you'll have these goals and goals for your life. And sometimes you'll reach them, and then you're like, okay, what now? Like for me, as a sports writer, you know, my goal coming out of college was like, if I could ever get my, you know, a story on the cover of Sports Illustrated, then my life would be complete. Well, I worked for Sports Illustrated for 11 years, so I got a lot of stories on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And the first time you do it, you're like, I kind of didn't even like that story. Like, so what now? Like, I'm not sad. And it's like a whole, the hole that never is never filled part really kind of resonated with me. I was like, oh, it's not, there's no destination that'll satisfy you. It's, you have to like the whole journey.
Yep. It's falling in love with the process.
I would say that coach you're playing next week might like that too. He might say something about that too. Although your coach worked with him for a few years. So yeah. You and Lane, you were what, a freshman in high school when Lane was still coaching at USC?
Yes, sir.
So did you, yes, sir. Did you oh, all?
Think, yeah, it was eighth grade, freshman year around there.
Did you think, okay, I'm going to play for Lane, but it'll be there?
No, see, that's the thing. I didn't really know who Coach Kiffin was. I knew who the head coach was. I didn't really understand, like, oh, this offensive coordinator is good. This offense, like I didn't look into football like that. I was just like, oh, this team's good. I want to play there. And it was just simply watching the sport. And it's like, oh, I want to play there, and not having any idea of what goes on behind the scenes or like just the details of how this, you know, whole college football thing works. And it's funny that you say that. I have a picture of me in like sixth grade or seventh grade. I had a Camp Kiffin shirt on, and I was at the in the grass. You can see Ed Orgeron in the back, and it's me and my buddy who went to Camp Kiffin. And like, just funny how the universe works. Who would have thought that me and him would have been together later on
in line, 8 years later?
Yeah.
So I was watching a video of you from the opening in 2017, and you're winning the long throw competition, and Trevor Lawrence is standing like 2 feet away from you, like, dang. Like, does it blow your mind that all the different kind of people you've come across here through the years on this journey?
Yeah, I mean, I met Trevor when I was a freshman in high school. We just grew up going to camps together. And that video, you see me do like a little hair flip. I was just messing with Trevor, because every time Trevor threw the ball, he'll do that. And so I just did it just to mess with him. He was laughing. But I'm blessed, man, just to come across these guys and make relationships with them throughout the whole process, and just seeing them grow and evolve. It's crazy.
So one of the other things I noticed about that video, the sleeve on the right arm was only half finished at that point. Now, I do have to ask you about this, because you're a California guy. So I'm sure you remember Nick Young from the Lake Swaggy P. And he always said he had a sleeve down his left arm, but the right arm was for buckets. So you've got the sleeve on the throwing arm. Why the clean left arm and the sleeve on the right?
I honestly just wanted to be different. Realistically, I just wanted to be different. But I mean, all my tattoos, they mean something to me. It all has to do with family or Bible related, and something that I read when I was, you know, going through certain situations, you know, tough times. And it's something that I kept close to me. I knew that if I were to get something, it had to be something that, you know, meant something to me. It couldn't just be some sporadic idea. So,
because it's on your body forever.
Yeah, well, forever.
that Isaiah verse. What is that verse?
Isaiah 40:31. Those who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings like eagles and fly. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not be faint. It was something that I read. It was something that I read when I was going through something at my first high school at Oaks Christian. That was just felt like my world was going to shambles.
Well, yeah, you were on TMZ as a high school kid. Like, I can't even imagine.
I had to grow up quick. I had to grow up quick for sure, just mentally. So I'm glad that it happened then rather than now, because now I know how to handle all that stuff.
Well, I was going to say that all this stuff that is coming at you, because, I mean, you know, when you decide to go pro, the NFL teams are going to comb through every second of your life. And you've got, you know, the hype and all that. How much easier is it since you've dealt with something like that before?
You know, I wouldn't say it's easier. I would just say I know what to do. You know, I know, you know, what really matters, what to focus my attention on. Because, I mean, if you focus your attention on all that bad stuff, of course, you're going to drive yourself crazy. You know, none of that stuff matters. It's in the past. You learn from it. Okay, move on with your life. But, yeah, you know, just having that knowledge of what to do when those situations come, I think that's what's most important about it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So you mentioned you got back on social media for some of this NIL stuff. I was looking at some of the stuff that's out there now. I can book you for $10,000. What do I get for my 10 grand? That's what's the Matt Corral experience for my 10 grand?
Anything, I don't know. No one's ever done it. So anything, you know, whatever you want me to,
like, do would you wash my car for 10 grand? Would you do that?
Absolutely. I'd wash your car. I'd mow your lawn too.
How difficult is it to figure out? Cause I was wondering about that. I looked at it and I'm like, I bet he never even thought about the dollar figure of what that would be. Like, I couldn't put a dollar figure on what and I know what I make per hour or per show or whatever, but if somebody said, okay, you're going to make an appearance for this person, tell them how much to pay. Like, I would never be able to come up with that number.
I mean, me and the guys who were on that app from the very beginning, they told us not to sell ourselves short. I mean, all I can do is work down from there. So, I mean, all the guys that went below, what are they going to do? Just shoot back up? Like, you can't, you're not supposed to do that. So,
exactly.
I mean, yeah. So I'm happy with what I did. I mean, it is what it is.
How much have you thought about all that stuff? Cause it seems like that the non-football stuff isn't much on your mind, but
honestly,
how much do you deal with that? Much.
I mean, not much. I mean, there'd be deals here and there. And like, if it starts to become like something that starts to stress me out, I'm like, oh my, and I'm just getting overwhelmed, I'll just put my phone away and go work out. I get it out of my mind. Like, I don't need to worry about that. Like, yeah, money's great. But I mean, I don't need that right now. I'm fine without this NIL deal. I'd be good without it regardless. So just having my mind on that and keeping the main thing.
What is it about this team, this particular group of guys that you're with, that makes it special?
The camaraderie that we have, the relationships that we have with one another, the relationships that we have with the coaches, I think is big too. But I mean, more importantly, the way we are with each other and how we hold each other accountable. I remember when the coaches first got here, Love came in a suit. Coach Love, our strength coach, came in a suit screaming at us the very first time he met us. And it was, why not us? Why not you guys? You guys are going to spend most of your time with me. We are going to create this monster that you guys want in your head, that you guys have wanted since you guys came to college football, and it's never happened because you guys honestly didn't know how to get it. And it was more of this saying, player led, not coach fed. And it was all about the coach is not being able to put in the work for you. The coach is being able not to give you that energy when you need it. Like, that's all going to be player led. Like, all that good energy, that good juice that you got going into practice, like that needs to be from the players. That needs to be from the captains. When you mess up, you need a player to tell you that you messed up, not a coach. You need, when things go wrong, you need the players to come up and say something, not the coach. Like, this is how this is ran. This is how this is done. Every great team that our coaches have been on, they've had these great leaders in every room, not just one leader. They're in every single position room, and they need to handle what they need to handle when stuff comes their way, and they can't let everything slip. Because if they let one thing go by, they got to let everything go by. And it's like, there's a standard that we have here that you simply can't. And we say that every time to each other. And it's like, if you see me slip and tell me, and I promise you, you won't. But if you do, tell me. That's why you can't get mad at me for checking you, because I'm always checking in on you, and you're going to be always checking in on me. So it's like, you know, it's just this checks and balances that we have with each other, and being able to take that with a grain of salt when you're in the wrong.
I was talking to Steve Clarkson about you, one of the guys that you've worked with through the years. And he was telling me about his favorite play of yours so far this year. And I think it is interesting because it kind of ties into what you were just talking about. It was when you took, you slid and took the targeting penalty against Louisville when you converted the fourth down. And it looked like you were down for a second, and it's like, oh no, I got to get up. And was it, I got to get up and show my teammates that I'm good, or to show the opponent that you can't keep me down?
It was more of my teammates. It was never about the opponent. I just knew I couldn't get out of that game. And like, it didn't hurt. I'm gonna be real. Like, I hit my head and it was like, oh, I saw a little white And I was like, oh, he got me. And I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm back up. And I just got up real quick. I had to stay down for a second because I couldn't see that split second. So, and I got back up and I was fine. And, you know, I was waiting for the next play, but I guess I had to get out because my eyes were closed. I don't know why they'd be open.
Yeah. And they checked you out and sent you back in.
Yeah.
But I'm curious. Now, Lane wasn't there that game. That was the game he had COVID. But has there ever been a point since you've been playing for him where you've had a fourth down where you guys have had to kind of do the point, let's go thing, don't send the punt team on? Or is it almost always you already know whether you're going for it or not based on the down distance and where you are in the field?
I mean, there'll be some times where if we think we can, like the players, if you think you can get it, call the play and we'll run it and get it. You better get it. But I mean, most of the time it's Kiffin, and Kiffin's going by this statistic stat sheet that he bases his opinion on. And sometimes he doesn't really go by it just based off how the game's going, based on situation. So, I mean, a whole lot plays into it of when to go for it. I'm not quite sure how he does it on that, but yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I was wondering, because it always seems like you guys already know.
We're going for it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're moving toward that line of scrimmage.
I mean, when we pass the 50, we're going for it.
How much fun is it playing in an offense that you do that? You're going for fourth downs all the time. You lead the nation in attempts over 15 plus air yards. You know, it's got to be like a quarterback's dream.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just the coach's trust that they have in me and in this offense and in my O-line and in the players that are around this, around me. You know, Lebby trusts that if he calls a deep shot on third and two, that he knows that if I need to get to the check down, get to the check down. That's just the trust that he has in me and me watching film with him and understanding what he wants out of these certain plays. So.
All right, Matt Corral, thank you so much. Try to relax a little bit. You got a few more days till you got to get ready for the Tide, but thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It was fun.
That's it for the show today. Thank you so much for joining us. I always love when we can have a big interview with a player who is going to make a huge impact on the season. I have a feeling Matt Corral, no matter what happens on Saturday, is going to make a big impact on this season, and he'll be a guy that we hear a ton about going into the draft next April. So good to get a window into his thinking, and he certainly seems to understand how much of what Ole Miss does rides on his shoulders. It's going to be fascinating to watch on Saturday because they're going into Alabama. They probably have a better chance of beating Alabama than they had last year, but they were completely fearless last year. So does the fact that they have a chance change things for them? Do they tense up? Does the fact that it's at Bryant-Denny where it's loud and just deafening at times, does that change anything? We're going to find out. And that could be one of the most fun games of the season. If it's anywhere near as fun as the one last year, we're in for 3.5. Well, it's a CBS game, so we're in for 4 to 4.5. Really good hours on Saturday. We will be back on Friday. The man himself, Mr. Mandel, Stuart Mandel, will be filling in for our guy, Ari Wasserman, who's going to be a little busy these next few days. And we will talk to Stuart Mandel about all the lines and the over-unders and the craziness that is to come, because this is going to be a great college football weekend. I can't wait. We'll talk to you Friday.